All right, so we're doing the Maimer Vihine Anachnu Ma'almim on page Chof Zayin Kalam Gimel. Huh? Over here. We're in the middle of the Maimer over here. The line, V'zehu Shekosuv V'nohar Yitzeh Me'eden. So I guess what we were studying over here, what we're in the middle of studying over there, yeah, but not yet, what we're in the middle of studying over here is that even though when we look at certain things the way they appear to us in this world, or if sometimes we can bring an example of people, let's say, sometimes we see people that seem to be very very simple, or they seem to be people who don't have. Yeah, I didn't want to make this table cloth dirty this way. Okay, it's okay. No, you left to put it here. It's okay. Be careful. And so when you look at sometimes at people, and you look at the way you see them in front of you, you may get a wrong picture. You may think that, you know, they are lacking any values, they lack any greatness, or they're not special, because what you see in front of you is really just their external. But the truth of the matter is that the potential and the greatness that lies within a human being, nobody can really evaluate. A lot of times it comes out in a later time that you recognize that somebody who you wrote off, sometimes you have a student, you know, who is a troublemaker or somebody who the teachers are having a hard time with, and then later on they grow up to be, you know, the Einsteins, they grow up to be people of great stature and have a lot to contribute. So basically what it means is that we cannot judge anything by its external face, what we see, but there is some depth and there is layers and there is a lot that is underneath the surface. The same is true with all the material things that we see in this world. They appear to us to be inanimate, they appear to us to be really non-alive. I mean, then we have growing things, and then we have the animal domain as it goes up. And from our perspective, when we look at them, we don't see the godly spark that is within them, because we can only sense and we can only feel the material, the physical of the item we're looking at. But the Kabbalah and the Hasidus teaches us that there is a godly spark that invigorates and gives vitality to everything. So there is no such a thing as just inanimate, that it's at a low level, but it really gets its energy from very, very high up. But that's not enough. But in the Hasidic terminology, we say that it comes actually from even a higher source than the human being comes. That's why we find, for example, that the human being is sustained by seemingly levels that are below him. Because if we divide the world into four categories, which is divided in many places as, you know, the human being, the animal, the growing, and the inanimate, so the human being seems to be on the highest level, but yet, how does the human being sustain himself? He has to eat and he has to leave. He gets his vitality physically from the domains that are lower than him. How can something which is lower than you sustain you? So in the spiritual meaning of this is, food is not just the physical, you know, taking out the nutrients and everything that comes in the food to sustain your body, but food also has in it godliness, a spark which energizes your soul, which energizes your spirit. And when you eat from the lower levels of you, you're actually being sustained by a godly spark which is hidden in them. And the reason you're sustained by the food is because the food actually has a source which is even higher than the human being from where it comes from. But the problem is that because it's been hidden and disguised, it came down so low, we can't tell, we don't see, it's not recognizable, you can't see any spark over there. And the basically the service of man is to utilize the physical matters for a holy purpose, to sustain one's life from the food, and then with his life to pray and to learn and to earn a living and to do to make a contribution to the world, to have it settled and make it into a better place. And if it's sustained by the food, that's the elevation for the food. But what we're learning about over here right now is that the reason when things descend, when we talk about descent, they descend in their spiritual standing. Descent, spiritual standing, means that the further, descent means they go further, further from where? Further from God. What does it mean they go further from God? How do we explain that? That means that the further from God means that you have less recognition that you are sustained by God. So, like, sometimes certain things are evident. You know how they are sustained. Let's take a very simple example. You know, if you take care of, we mentioned yesterday, if you take care of your children, let's say, right? So you pay for their food, you pay for their clothing, you pay for their education, and everything that you pay for. So it's obvious that who's sustaining your children? You are sustaining them, you know, and you can tell that you are sustaining them. So there is a recognition. Now, when you sustain them, you don't sustain them their life they have by themselves, but their needs, what they need, you sustain by providing it for them. So that's why we call them dependents, because they are dependent on you for their sustenance, for what they need, they have to come unto you. But as long as you can see that one relies on the other, that one sustains the other, so that means that there is a recognition by the recipient that, look, on my own, you know, I couldn't make it, I wouldn't have what to eat, I need somebody to give it to me, and there is a direct connection of a recognition of the source that gives it to you. But what happens if the sustenance comes by means indirectly, so that the child, the person receiving it, doesn't know and doesn't recognize that it's being sustained, that somebody is giving it to him? He goes to the grocery, gets food there, but he doesn't know who pays for it, or he doesn't know. So that would be called, if he doesn't have a recognition and appreciation where he's getting it from, that means that he's distant from his benefactor, from the one who's giving it, because he has no recognition of him. So he's getting it, but he's getting it in a way which he doesn't appreciate, he can't recognize, he's not aware, he's not cognitive of that level that somebody's giving it to him. So, but here we're talking about sustaining one with matters which are just not his life itself. But imagine if somebody gives you life, right? Somebody gives you life, you know, you're just your life. We are created as human beings, we are created, how do we get life? We don't have that recognition. Well, there is somebody giving you life all the time. So we don't make that connection between us and God, that, okay, you know, there is somebody who's giving you, just like the father is sustaining his son, somebody's giving us this life. God created us in such a way that we can't tell, we don't know, we don't feel, we're not aware of that. And somehow we're alive over here, and we think we're alive because we're supposed to be alive, or we were born, our parents created us, and we're just here. But that's not true. That's not true. We are constantly sustained. We are constantly giving our energy, our life itself, by someone. That's by God. But when we say further from God, it means the further, the less recognition. Sometimes we don't know, we don't feel it, but at least we have, logically, we have a connection. We say, okay, it doesn't make sense. Somehow we're being sustained. Maybe, you know, it's coming from somewhere. So, at least we have it logically. Sometimes people don't logically, sometimes people deny it. Sometimes people say that this is, you know, old-fashioned kind of thing. Some people don't even recognize that or say that that's not true. Now, if a child who recognizes that his father sustains him is closer to his father than the child that doesn't recognize it, because if he doesn't realize that he needs his father, so he's distant, because he's disconnected, because he doesn't know that that is what connects him. In the spiritual levels, when we say something is close to God or far from God, that means the more and the deeper the connection that one is reliant on God, and the self-effacement by feeling, well, I am not here because I have to be here. I'm not really independent. In the spiritual level, the more that recognition is there, that you're relying, and the less you think of yourself, that means you're closer to God. The further and the more you think of yourself, that you're independent, that you exist, that you have the right to be, that means that you are farther away, because you are lacking that level of recognition and humility and dependence on God. So, in the Kabbalah we talk about that there is a whole bunch of levels. We are sort of at the bottom of the levels. So we as human beings who are given our mind to think, we are on the lowest of the level, because our recognition and our nature and our predisposition is to feel ourselves as we are here, and it takes a lot of hard work to subjugate ourselves, to get that sense of humility, to realize that we are not really, really here. But say, for example, angels. Angels have a more closer connection to God. They feel they are not as material, they're not as physical, they are not so distant. And within the levels, I just say angels, human beings, but there's hundreds and millions and, you know, so many different levels. And there was a level of a chain reaction. So the right path is that people have a recognition, even though it diminishes. In the Kabbalah it's called Hishtalshulus. It goes by a chain reaction. It goes from level to level to level until it comes down to this level. But sometimes it is like, doesn't go like through the chain reaction. There's another way. Like there's something, if you want to get something, like I like to give this example, I haven't seen this anywhere, but you thought it may be a good example. If you want to get something from the 100th floor, and you want to get it down to the bottom, so sometimes you can, you know, go floor after floor, you put it in the elevator, and you go down, assuming that every floor is a lower level, you know, and lower level physically, but a lower level on the spiritual. It's a gradual, goes level by level, just like a link of a chain in which the bottom of the lower link is connected, is on the top of the, the top of the lower link is on the, connected to the bottom of the upper link, so it's like chains down, it goes level to level. So to get from the 100th floor, from the highest level to the bottom, you gotta go through all the floors. But sometimes, you know, you just throw it out of the window from the 100th floor. It comes crashing down all the way to the bottom, right? It's also going to get there, but guess what? It didn't go through all these levels. And in a way, you know, it's not measured, and it's not been made formed and shaped and become user friendly, in other words, to be measured according to everybody's ability. It didn't go through step by step. It's just like, boom, it's there. So what we're learning over here right now, we'll go further. So we're learning over here that the further also that you go, the further that you separate the distance, in other words, the more you feel yourself, things become more separate and more diverse, and it becomes more fragmented as we go about, because when there is a recognition of God's unity, so people are not, or ideas are not so separate from each other, because we all recognize, you know, if all the children recognize that the Father gives them what they need, so they're all together because they all taking from the same place. But if everybody starts thinking, well, I'm getting it because I'm smarter, or I earned it because I'm better, and everybody starts to think that that causes a separation. The closer that you are, the more you're united. The further you go away, the more fragmented you get, you become. So what he's saying over here is that this fragmentation happens between different levels as you descend. You're going further away from the source. So each one is like a different independent by themselves. So now he gives a metaphor, he gives a verse from the verse that we find right in the beginning of creation. Now, of course, the verses describe the physical in the Bible, in the beginning of in the Genesis, when it talks about how God created the world. So there is a lot of descriptions over there, and it describes some of the physical creations, how the world came into being. But then those descriptions are also pointing to some also hidden layers, that things that took place at the same time, but on a higher sphere, on a higher level. So one of the verses, it says over there, there's a similar verse, it talks about that God created the Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and he placed man over there. And the verse says that from the Garden of Eden, it says there was a river that went from the Garden of Eden, and that garden and that river, there was actually a place of which is called Eden. In Eden itself, there was a Gan, there was a garden, and there was a river that came from Eden that watered the Gan, that watered the garden, so that this garden would grow all these different beautiful trees and different fruits. It all came from where? From the river that came from Eden, and that went to water the garden. And then it says, and that river, after it watered the garden, then it separated itself into four different rivers. And the verse goes on and telling you the names of all the different four rivers. So in the Kabbalah, they use this verse also as a explaining how things took place on the spiritual level. Eden was a place in the physical world, but Eden also means the light, means that is a reference to the level which is called Eden, which is called the delight, which is a level, a spiritual level, which we call Eden. And that delight, in the terms of the Kabbalah, is kind of hard to explain everything in the first one sitting. So that level of Eden, in the words of the Kabbalah, that's called the Chochmah de Atzilus. That's the level of wisdom of Atzilus. That level of delight, of the level of Eden in its spiritual counterpart, is called the Chochmah of Atzilus. River going out from there means that it goes out from that level of Chochmah of Atzilus and it descends down into, when we say the river, just like a river flows, so it's a river of godly energy that flows from the level of Chochmah, of the wisdom of Atzilus, and which goes down into the lower levels to water them, to invigorate them, to give them life. So let's go inside. Zehu shekosuv, and this is what the pasuk says, v'nohor yoytze me'eden, that there was a river that comes out from Eden, lahashkis esagon, that watered the garden. And then it says, u'mishom yiparet, and from there it separated. So here we also see that the separation becomes as it goes down. So just like the river, when does the river separate? As we said before, as it goes down, as it extends, it goes, it separates. That we see that idea over here, the separation. For the river which is extended, that comes from the level of Eden, Shahu, which is Chochmah Atzilus, which is the wisdom of Atzilus, as it is extended, as it goes, as it flows, Derech kol oilam ha'atzilus, by way of the entire world of Atzilus. Now I know a lot of these words don't mean much if you use the first time. This is like French, but these are the terms of some of the Kabbalah. And again, we're just with the time limit, so we're gonna just go through. I want to finish this paragraph, so just make whatever you can of this. So derech kol oilam ha'atzilus ad hagan, until the garden, hu bechinas malchus da'atzilus, that is the level of malchus da'atzilus, hu hakoil nor echod adai, it is still considered one river, it's one, but mushlol, and mushlol megedris chalkus betachlis, it is totally not fragmented, it's totally not divided, it's one, there's just one river, the Nohar Yoytze, there's one river there. And the reason why there is no separation over there, there is unity over there, because there is humility over there. Ki ba'atzilus, because in the world of Atzilus, in the level of Atzilus, Iyu v'garmo yichad, him meaning Hashem, God, and the garments, these extensions called garmoi, are really one. What does it mean that they're one? Shein bebchinas bitul amiti, they are truly subjugated, as we were talking about before. Their level of subjugation is a true subjugation, lema'atzilon, to one who separates them, the one who brings them into their being. Umiyuchodim himoi, and they're united with him, betachli sayichut, with total unity. There is no separation there. There is nothing else. There's only Hashem, which is the opposite of separation and multitude and a lot. It's just unity. By Hashem, it's one. But once that comes to the Reish HaBriya, once it comes to the level of Briya, as I see, so then the verse says, "Umisham yiparet v'yoladal rashim." Now it separates. Now it gets foreheads. Now it's going out to different air directions. Although there is no additional water, it's the same as before, in Koza, nevertheless, it is separated and becomes into four sections. The Hain, and they are, these four sections, are the Dalit Machnes Shechina, that's a reference to the four camps of the Divine, which is also the a vision of Ezekiel that he had in his dream when he saw the activity of the chariot of the Ma'aseh Merkava. So over there we have the Pnei Ariel Yamin, the face of the lion he saw in his vision was on the right side, and the Pnei Shoir, and the face of the ox was on this on the left side, etc. At all the four different sides. Achim Chalokim Koilalim Adayin, but they are parts that still include, the parts that include they're still, even though they're already separate, but still each one of them is a part that still includes a lot. Each one includes many details. And when the level descends even further, so then from the level of Michoel, which is the level of Aryeh, he becomes and he is divided to Kuf, Liku, Peivav, Elev, Bechines, Mechulakis, to 186,000 levels that are separated. Shehem, Machna Michoel, that becomes the camp of Michoel in that level of 186,000 levels. 186,000. And further, which is from the level of the face of the ox, also that divides into many parts, which are all the details of the camp of Gabriel. The kolzo adayin, this is all still while it's ba'olam habriya, in the world of briya. Ubi yitzira, when it comes down to yitzira mischalek oy, then it's divided all the protim yaser even to more details. Shehem haruchos the yitziras, they are the ruach of yitzira. So because the nefesh ruach and neshama is also, neshama is in briya and the ruach is in yitzira. And divides it into more parts. Shema nefesh is dasiya, which are the souls of dasiya. Ba'akoil, and all this is u'mevchina shvira sakelim. It all comes from the level of the shvira sakelim, the broken vessel. Shemis parri, they fragment. Peter achad peter, one fragmentation after another fragmentation. They keep on breaking up. Ribu achad ribu, and like a piece of glass that shatters into many, many, many pieces. Now, achamalochim. But the angels, heim asher kvar niskinu b'chinas el matikun. The malachim have already been fixed there in the level of tikun. Zohu hanikra, and that's what's called v'asher mishorsov kulam oimdim, that they're all standing. B'chinas yeitzim mishorsim. So shorsov kulam oimdim, those that are already fixed, because that's the whole idea to be mesakin through the berurim. So the malachim have already been fixed. B'chinas yeitzim mishorsim, and the level of yeitzim mishorsim, heim amizbarim kolim chulu, that are purified every single day.
I was just wondering where you get the 156,000, but if you have Pnei Aryeh without the Reish, it comes to 156. Then the Reish, we don't count over here. Maybe the Reish represents thousands, so it's 186, and the Reish would be 186,000. Gotta look it up from where this 186,000, how it connects to the Pnei Aryeh.